In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, October 29th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Was it a last act of defiance in the face of his conservative colleagues? Speaker of the House John Boehner put together a budget deal that gained unanimous support from the Democrats and just enough support from Republicans to advance the bill. The bill increases spending by another $80 billion, raises the debt ceiling for another year and a half, and continues to fund Planned Parenthood. Conservative Republicans have another shot at stopping Planned Parenthood funding, though, in December. The Republican presidential candidates squared off last night, this time at the Coors Event Center in Boulder, Colorado. Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and Donald Trump went after the liberal mainstream media.
The questions that have been asked so far in this debate illustrate why the American people don't trust the media. This is not a cage match. And if you look at the questions, Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math? John Kasich, will you insult two people over here? Marco Rubio, why don't you resign? Jeb Bush, why have your numbers fallen? How about talking about the substantive issues people care about?
The pro-life issue and religious liberty issues were ignored, and Ben Carson offered constitutional protections for homosexuals. Lindsey Graham aired his support for welfare, climate change concerns, and illegal immigrants. Rick Santorum called for an end of Obamacare before it turns into a single-payer system. And Governor Bobby Jindal criticized the Boehner budget deal, suggesting cuts in spending and the federal debt instead. According to the unscientific poll taken at DrudgeReport.com by viewers of the CNBC Republican debate last night, the top three candidates were Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Marco Rubio. In other news, Republican Congressman Paul Ryan will take on the mantle of leadership as Speaker of the House after he beat out conservative Daniel Webster by a vote of 200 to 43. Ryan is the youngest to serve in that office in 150 years. Meanwhile, former Republican Speaker of the House, Dennis Hastert, has pled guilty on a hush money case allegedly relating to his previous sexual sins. 1 Samuel 2, 3-4 says, "Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken." Hillary Clinton has come under fire from the Republicans for her denial of, quote, widespread, unquote, problems with the socialist medical programs for veterans. She continues to oppose privatization of these medical services. The Christian woman incarcerated in a Pakistani prison is still alive. Asia Bibi's attorney reports that his latest visit found her safe and in good health. Bibi has appealed her death penalty case to the Pakistani Supreme Court. Remember those in chains, as though bound with them. The European Union is requiring the removal of all filters from public internet access points. James Mildred, spokesman for the Christian lobby group, CARE, told The Worldview they are fighting for robust age verification filters.
Christians up and down the country can be praying about this matter. We want to see the biblical standards of purity and the biblical standards of trying to encourage people to be careful about what they expose themselves to. We want to see those standards reintroduced and brought back. Yes, of course we do. And one of the ways that we are going to do that is we are championing legislation in the House of Commons and in the House of Lords that will bring that to pass.
A United Church of Christ congregation in Massachusetts celebrated a drag gospel festival featuring transvestites, music from Lady Gaga, and blasphemous representations of Jesus Christ. The United Church of Christ was the first denomination in America that openly supported abortion and homosexual marriage. Isaiah 30, verse 1 says, "Woe to the obstinate children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin." The owners of Hobby Lobby are under investigation for illegally importing ancient Mideastern artifacts. CEO Steve Green acknowledged that the family may have illegally but inadvertently acquired some of their ancient artifacts headed toward the Museum on the Bible in Washington, D.C. That record-breaking hurricane down in the Gulf of Mexico has produced multiple storms across the United States, from the Midwestern plains all the way out to North Carolina. The storms are moving up the mid-Atlantic states towards New England. The massive immigration into Europe from the Middle East promises to unsettle social conditions in European countries like Germany. By the end of the year, Germany and Sweden will take in over 1 million migrants. Stories of sexual assaults in the migrant camps are commonplace, and Austrians are now arming themselves in record numbers, according to WorldNetDaily.com. Over 1,000 Iranians have received the death penalty over the last year, according to a report from FoxNews.com, mostly nonviolent drug law offenders. Lashes and prison time are handed out to men and women who write poetry and shake hands with members of the opposite sex. A Chinese pro-life activist with China Life Alliance is facing pressures to get an abortion herself. She is facing a mandatory health checkup at the end of this week, and she tells World Magazine, quote, "I cry a lot, and I pray a lot. I know I cannot have an abortion, and I believe that God has a way for us. So we keep praying," unquote. Pray for our sister. Pray for a way of escape for Chinese mothers who face forced abortions. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Thursday, October 29th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. I'm a homeschool father of five. We raise our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me today. We talk about the direction that the Western world has taken, especially politically. Now, politics, of course, play off of the social, economic element, as does it play off of the cultural element as well. In fact, some say that the cultural battle is more severe and more important and more fundamental than the political battle. And that's why, of course, I wrote the book on culture called The Tattooed Jesus. The compromise going on within the Christian church, the abandonment of God's laws, of God's way of life, of God's word when it comes to life on a cultural level, that is a day-to-day level, inevitably will affect the way that people vote in November. So the way they live 364 days out of the year, as it turns out, also affects the way they vote on the 365th day out of the year in November. So the cultural war, as important as the political war, probably even more basic to it, but we want to take a look at what's going on politically in order to just get a little bit of a temperature as to what is happening in the mass culture, especially in the Western world. The Western world has moved in the liberal direction. There's no question about it. Of course, there is a pendulum. Pendulum moves one direction or the other every 4 to 8 years because people aren't so happy with the direction that is set by each successive liberal government. Well, again, the word liberal means different things for different people. As it turns out in Australia, liberal tends to mean a little more conservative. But when we say liberal, that would just mean somebody who is advancing towards an anti-biblical worldview. So anyway, what's happening in the Western world is interesting. In some of the developed countries, most of the developed countries, of course, we've gone to the homosexual neuronic agenda. So that's what's happened over 80 to 90% of Europe, all of North America, and some percentage of South America, about a third of South America. And South America is still hanging on some semblance of a biblical worldview in Guatemala. But in Canada, huge, huge swing of the pendulum towards the liberal anti-biblical agenda. That is a record setting election in which the Liberal Party gained more seats than they've ever gained in the history of that country in a single election. Canada's new Prime Minister is Justin Trudeau. He is the son of Pierre Trudeau. He has formed a party in which he wishes to, quote, be resolutely pro-choice. So that's his position on abortion. Canada's not pro-abortion enough per Justin Trudeau. Just elected as the new Prime Minister of Canada. He also says any of the Liberal candidates in the 2015 election who are anti-abortion will not be green-lighted for the nomination if they did not agree to vote pro-choice on all abortion bills. In other words, gun to the head of every single Liberal Party member, and if they will not toe the line on abortion, Justin Trudeau will axe them. Okay, that's the commitment that this man has to the pro-abortion agenda. And he's, of course, he's very pro-environmental, very pro-welfare, very pro-immigration. He's pro-anything that the liberal agenda is all about. And also, by the way, he is a pro-legalization of marijuana because it worked so well in Colorado. So he studied what happened in Colorado. It's worked very, very well out here in Colorado. So therefore, he's going to bring it into Canada. So that's his agenda for at least the next couple of years in Canada.
Yeah, the only thing that had worked in Colorado was to raise lots and lots of tax money. And one of the things that's going to be on the ballot coming up in November is whether or not we want to get some of that money back, or should we allow the government just to keep that excess and spend it on whatever they want?
That's precisely what the liberal agenda is all about. It is about a permissive society in which the morality of the nation is attacked, is eroded as much as possible, and to the aggrandizement of government. As Ben Franklin would say, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. That is, either you'll be governed by God's laws, you'll be self-governed by God's laws, or you will be tyrannized by the sovereignty of God. He will see to it that you will be governed to the umpteenth degree. That's Ben Franklin, and of course, it's a reflection of the proverb, for the transgression of the people, many are the princes thereof. This is exactly what the founders of our nation understood, that in order to bring about big government, you had to erode the morality of the people. And so these guys who are just so committed to becoming the biggest tyrants the world has ever known, that is typically the Democrats, the liberals, these people who are so committed to tyrannizing the people and controlling the people, to the umpteenth degree, to the point where, you know, this is not just communism, this is communism to the fourth. These people understand that in order to bring this about, in order to increase the revenues of a government, in order to tax marijuana and increase the revenues as much as possible in Colorado and Canada, you have got to, legalize marijuana and get as many people on marijuana as possible in order to control the masses. Either you'll be governed by God, or by God you'll be governed, and that's precisely what Justin Trudeau is all about north of the border. But south of the border, something different happening. Guatemala elected Jimmy Morales, evangelical Christian who opposes same-sex marriage as well as abortion and the legalization of drugs. So he's doing just the opposite. It's interesting. Guatemala south of the border doing just the opposite of Canada north of the border is doing. And he apparently was a comedian. He was a television comedian, had no experience in politics.
Wow. So getting outside of the establishment, kind of like what the United States is trying to do.
Yeah, right? I think we're trying to elect a comedian, too.
Yeah.
Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, Ben Carson just passed him up, though.
He did. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But anyway, Morales is a well-known as a television comedian. In his most famous political sketch, he played a Guatemalan cowboy who becomes the country's president. So that apparently was one of the, and he, so he played the part and he was elected as president of Guatemala. We'll see what happens with that. Apparently, even the growth of evangelicalism in South America has yielded some fruit in that, you know, evangelical to the extent that they read the Bible and teach the Bible. They get back past the praise and worship, the hour and a half of the emotional hand waving, and get on to actually reading the Bible and studying the Bible. Praise God, there are some evangelicals that read the Bible and take it seriously. Evidently, Jimmy Morales does, and the growth of evangelicalism in South America from 50,000 evangelicals in 1900 to 64 million in 2000, huge increase of evangelicals since 1900, has yielded some fruit in these largely Catholic nations. Be back in just a moment with more on the American presidential elections. This is Kevin Swanson, Steve Fulton, also in the studio.
On April 24th, Christian bakers from Oregon were fined $135,000 for declining to bake a cake for a gay wedding. On June 26th, the Supreme Court redefined marriage in direct opposition to the Word of God. On November 6th and 7th, you can join the Benham Brothers, Nagme Abedini, Kelly Shackelford, and Steve Dace in Des Moines, Iowa at the Freedom 2015 National Religious Liberties Conference. Now is the time to stand for our religious freedoms. Go to freedom2015.org to get signed up.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we talk about the presidential elections and the prime minister elections in Canada, Guatemala, and the United States. Now, the United States is going to be interesting. America, of course, swung towards the neuronic agenda, and it's pro-abortion, pro-homosexual. They've endorsed it, and the centralization of power and government, area of health care and education. This has happened the last 15 years. The last 15 years, the governments have increased their power, education and health care, sixfold, tenfold, way more than we saw in the 1970s, 1980s. This is the trend towards total government, totalitarianism in America. And we have taken a position against it largely because, well, the Bible limits government to 10% of the gross national income. Just check out 1 Samuel 18. It's there in black and white.
And the founding fathers even said that the most that anybody should ever be taxed is 9%.
Yeah.
Because they said that going to 10% would make the government seem like they were acting as God.
Yeah, in fact, Benjamin Franklin is one of the guys who said the church gets 10%. The government should get something less.
Yeah, and another, I can't remember, it might have been one of the founding fathers that said that a government that is big enough to give you everything you need is a government that's big enough to take everything you have.
Right, which is exactly what it's doing.
Yes.
All right, so, friends, the presidential election is going to shape up for 2016, and it's critical. Why? Because, well, how do you like the idea of your pastor going to jail? How do you like every Christian businessman in your congregation? I'm talking about an evangelical congregation that still believes the Bible and still wants to stand for the Bible and will not compromise in the marketplace when it comes to our ethics. How do you like the idea of every single Christian businessman in your church being fined $135,000 and bankrupt? How do you like that as a possibility for the year 2016, 2017, 2018? Well, that's why the 2016 elections are so important. And we have several of the leading conservative presidential candidates for the Republican nomination coming to the Freedom Conference next week. And be there, be square, friends. This is our opportunity to celebrate freedom, to emphasize freedom, to stand for freedom. And I know it takes a little bit to put your lives, your fortunes, your sacred honor on the line for principle, for something that matters. That's, I know, a shock to the system of the modern Christian. But we want to challenge people to stand for something in the 2016 elections, especially for religious liberties and for pressing against the neuronic agenda. Please stand against Nero and stand with Christ in 2016. All right, now, so we've got some leading conservative candidates. I'm not going to tell you who they are. We've got at least three that are planning to visit the Freedom Conference in next week in Des Moines, Iowa. All right, so here, let me ask you guys, what questions would you ask these candidates? We want to ask questions of these candidates at the main sessions at the conference next week. If you had a question you would ask these candidates, what would you ask them?
I know number one.
Yeah. What would you ask them?
Do you fear God?
There you go. Yeah, it's a great question. I plan to use that question. Okay, I think I'm the one who's asking the questions, as it turns out, at the conference next week. But if you have any idea for questions, just email them to host@kevinswanson.com. Well, let me take a look at the front runners right now for the Republican nomination. Ben Carson, as you said, is in the lead.
Yeah, and that's good. Trump just to me seems like a joke.
In Iowa, I mean, the shift is. Remember
huge.
When it was 31-19, Trump was ahead?
Yeah.
Well, now it's shifted.
Yeah, it's totally switched around.
Incredible. It's 31-19. 31% for Ben Carson in Iowa, 19% for Donald Trump. You know, the numbers are moving like a roller coaster, so you never know who's going to be in front in 3 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Never know who's going to take the Iowa primaries in just a month or two after our Freedom Conference in Des Moines. The numbers are moving like a roller coaster. And, you know, let me just take a look at some of the positions that Ben Carson, Donald Trump, others have taken on the neuronic agenda. Now, why is the neuronic agenda important? Why? Because Nero was the guy who brought in homosexual marriage, burned down Rome, and persecuted Christians. And that's precisely what the Supreme Court of the United States is doing to this country. They are endorsing homosexual marriage. They're burning down the country. And that's what you do to burn down a country. You destroy a country by destroying its family, its socioeconomic system. And that's what the Supreme Court of the United States is doing. Exactly what Nero did.
And it brought about the persecution of the Christians.
And they plan to bring about persecution for Christians. That is every Christian businessman, every Christian employee, and every Christian pastor in America. Okay, so that's the agenda. So I'm just asking the question, what is Ben Carson's position and what is Donald Trump's position on the Neuronic Agenda? I think we ought to ask the question. So I did a search. I did a Google search for every news story I could find. And by the way, it's so easy to do these days. Anybody can do it. It's no big deal. It just takes about an hour. It's all it takes. Ben Carson. Ben Carson on the on homosexual marriage. And right away, his Facebook entry on Obergefell and homosexual marriage appeared. And he says this. Here's what he says. I support human rights and constitutional protection for gay people. I've done so far many years. I support civil unions for gay couples. And I have done so for many years. I support the right of individual states to sanction gay marriage. And I support the right of individual states to deny gay marriage in their respective jurisdictions. So that's his perspective on the Neurotic Agenda. That's it.
Pretty soft.
Yeah, I would say it's fairly soft. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say it's not biblical.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not what the state should do when it comes to homosexuality, according to a biblical world and life view. And so you'd give him that about a C minus. Okay, so that's Ben Carson in his own words on a Facebook entry still available online. Donald Trump, when he was asked about the Obergefell decision, here's what Donald Trump said. You have to go with it. The decision's been made. And that is the law of the land. In other words, here's the translation on this, that the Darwinian progression in law has already worked its way out. Law is a relativistic, Darwinistic thing. You have to go with it. The decision's already been made, and that is the law of the land.
So the Supreme Court, they are the supreme beings.
That's right.
Of this land. It's not
right.
God, it's...
No,
it's five people.
No fear of God whatsoever, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
Also, recently, a gay vlogger, a vlogger is a video logger, evidently, Kyle Kittleson has come out and said, I'm tired of living a lie. I want to come clean. I'm gay, and I support Donald Trump. He says he'll campaign for Trump, donate money to him, and vote for Donald Trump. He supports Trump's views on infrastructure, immigration, and equality. That's why he supports Donald Trump. Now, I haven't seen any homosexual support Ben Carson or Ted Cruz as of yet. Long before Hillary Clinton supported gay marriage, gay rights, Donald Trump supported equal rights for everybody, says Kittleson. In an interview with The Advocate 15 years ago, Trump supported equal rights and equal protections for gays and gay couples. Granted, he didn't want to call it marriage, but he did advocate for unions with legal equal rights, as did Ben Carson, we might add. Okay. Also on MSNBC, apparently Trump was asked on Meet the Press about... whether he would fire employees simply because they were gay, and he said he could see no reason for letting workers go on the basis of sexual orientation. So he doesn't want to discriminate against people based on sexual orientation. Now, I would just simply ask the question, would he impose that standard upon every Christian employee, every Christian school in America? Very important question.
Yeah.
Very important question.
As
so
well
Don,
as...
If Donald Trump shows up, that's a question I would ask him.
Yeah, as well as owners of apartment buildings and,
sure.
You know, duplexes,
sure.
And things like that they want to rent out.
You want to ask Donald Trump that question. Is not just, you know, would you fire an employee or not hire an employee on the basis of sexual orientation? I suppose I would ask him the question, if you were the principal of a Christian school, would you maintain a strong biblical position on the hiring of homosexuals to teach or to administer the school?
Yeah, I'd probably go a little bit more intense. If you were the principal of a Christian all-boys school, would you hire the president of NAMBLA to be a teacher?
Yeah, sure. Sure. That would be a good question to pose Donald Trump. I'm sure he would squirm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I tell you what, he's a pretty hard guy to nail down on these issues. WesternJournalism.com also recorded this after telling an interviewer that he had attended a gay wedding, the marriage of a Broadway theater owner. The billionaire businessman was asked, so this is a dead issue for the GOP at this point. His response, some people have hopes of passing amendments, but it's not going to happen. Congress can't pass simple things, let alone that. So anybody that's making that an issue is doing it for political reasons. The Supreme Court ruled on it. So there it is. That's another indication. Donald Trump is not going to do squat on this issue. He doesn't stand to salvage a nation. He doesn't believe that's going to salvage the socioeconomic system here in America, and will not. He will not stand on a biblical position on this issue. Okay.
I would ask him, do you agree with Dred Scott? Because the Supreme Court ruled on that, too.
Yeah. Wasn't it a done issue at that point?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Yeah. And it's considered considered the worst decision ever made by the Supreme Court until now.
All right, my friends. Well, as it turns out, Donald Trump is squishy on the most significant issues of the day. Jeb Bush, former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, recently was dubbed 2016's gay-friendly Republican, he was asked about discrimination against people in the workplace based on sexual orientation. He says, none whatsoever. He didn't think they should be discriminated against, period, over and out, those words. So at least on the issue of discrimination, doesn't want it to happen, which means, again, important question for Jeb Bush, would he impose non-discrimination laws upon Christians across this country on the basis of sexual orientation? Very important question. Will sexual decadence prevail over religious rights? That's the big question in the 2016 elections. That's the question we're going to be dealing with in the upcoming conference in Des Moines, Iowa. Be there, be square. All right, now, big question here. Ben Carson asked this question, and he was asked this question. He took the position that worldviews matter, religion matters, as to who you elect as president of the United States. And he said, I would not elect a Muslim to president of the United States. And got in a little bit of hot water on that one. As it turns out, about 98% of Americans are not Muslims, so it only turned off 2%, and everybody was trying to attack him. So I don't think it undermined his campaign any at all. But when we ask the question, does religion matter when it comes to the president of the United States? The answer is obvious. Yes, worldviews matter. Now, you notice I shifted to the word worldview from religion to worldview. The problem is a lot of people's religions are just a bunch of externalistic rites they do on a Sunday morning, and it makes no difference in their life. That's the problem. The problem is religion has turned into a fakey, externalistic religious rite. And that's all it is. Now, as it turns out, religion ought to be a system of beliefs, bottom line, worldview commitments. And most people have a religious thing they do on Sunday, and then they carry on a different religion or worldview the other 99% of their lives, meaning that they're not Christians. They're just faking it on Sunday when they attend the Christian church, and they take up a different humanist worldview the rest of the day and the rest of the week. Technically, a man's worldview should reflect his faith or his religion, unless he's faking it. Now, here's Proverbs 29:2. Does a man's religion matter? Does a man's ethic matter? Does a man's form of law matter or morality matter? Does the thing the man believes in terms of God, in terms of God's redemption, and in terms of God's law really matter? Here's Proverbs 29:2. When the wicked rule, the people mourn, but when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. So does it matter who rules a nation? A wicked man, you say, well, what's a wicked man? A wicked man is one who hates God and hates God's laws and breaks God's law in his personal life and encourages others to break God's law by the policies he endorses. Well, what's a righteous man? A righteous man who is one who says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." It's somebody who's been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God such that he isn't at an enmity against God and hateful of his law. I ran into somebody one day who said, "I walk into your church. I hear you mention the law of God, and I hate it. I hate it." Now, whether this person was hating it after the inward man or the external man, I'm not sure. But, you know, anybody who says, "Oh, how hate I thy law," is not regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Anybody who says, "I love the law of God," has been regenerated. And that, my friends, is definitively a righteous person. When the wicked rule, the people mourn, but when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. The wickedness, righteousness has got to be determined by God's laws, not by the laws of Adolf Hitler, not by the laws of Karl Marx, and not by the laws of the average evangelical that will not use the law of God as the standard for right and wrong. Not just anybody who renders lip service to God's laws really ought to be elected to President of the United States. What we really want is somebody who fears God and keeps his laws before him all the time. That is, he keeps an eye on the laws of God. He respects them. He uses them as a measure as to determine whether or not this policy is a good one or a bad one. That's the kind of guy you want to elect. Otherwise, people are going to mourn all day long, baby. All day long. Republican president, Democrat president, if he doesn't fear God, if he doesn't love the laws of God, friends, people are going to mourn all day long. They're going to mourn for the next 10 years. They're going to mourn for the next 20 years. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. But when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And that, my friends, is the thrust of my new book, Freedom. It's just come out, available on our website, kevinswanson.com. It's just simply Freedom, a book on freedom. Imagine that, a book on freedom. I hope that runs in your veins, because freedom can only be defined by the laws of God. True liberty, defined by the laws of God. Check out the book Freedom at our website, kevinswanson.com, or come down to the conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Register today at freedom2015.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.